Okay, that's what's working too. All right, praise the Lord. We're gonna. Oh no, I just dropped my. Forgot about this. I'll set this here because it's gonna be very loud. Okay, praise the Lord. I'll put the. Can they see the trumpet? That means I got a lip mac. That's what musicians say, you know, like I am one. Anyway, let's see if the video and everything is okay. We'll have Malachi come up and give the prayer. Praise the Lord. Go ahead, Malachi. Okay.
Shalom, everyone. Yes, thank you for being here at One of Messiah Congregation. I'm very happy you're here.
Third day of April and 17th day of Nisan, and if you go to the prayer, I'm trying to say this prayer a lot because it feels like it's very important. So if you go to the website, it's the prayer, and it says, let's all pray, would you mind standing? And we can say this prayer together. And obviously I can't hear you, but it says, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, which is sins, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Amen. Okay, I will.
Heavenly Father, bless and anoint everyone that's here today in the congregation, people around the world on Health Talk. I pray you always keep us cleansed in thy holy blood as we come before your throne as kings and priests. Bless the Sabbath day, this feast of unleavened bread, as we partake in your feasts, your holy days. I pray you'll send down healing on those that need healing in the body. Send down deliverance, salvation for those that need to be saved. Bring people to our congregation. Let people be curious. Heavenly Father, bless this day. Put a wall of fire around and about everyone. Caution everyone if there's any evil. Bless and anoint the reading. Let it be for the edifying of the body, to the glory of the living God. And I just thank God we could be here today on God's holy Sabbath and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. God bless everyone, and I pray that you get something out of this today. Shalom. Shabbat shalom.
Amen. Shabbat shalom here, so we can start the study. Praise the Lord. Good to see everybody. Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom.
Everybody sits in the back, just like when I was a Catholic. Yeah, that's right. Exactly. They're just doing what the Bible says. So then it's like, come up to the front. No. So praise in the Lord. Welcome to One and Messiah Congregation, Kahal Ahad Chabe Mashiach, and part of the Congregation of Israel, which is Yadat Yisrael. Shabbat Shalom. I read that. I can't believe it. Anyway, all welcome. We're still in the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Everybody knows that, right? And it started what day? It started on actually Thursday, which was Wednesday night, and we did our Passover. And I'm sure everybody online did their Passover too, and I hope it was wonderful for everybody. We had two firsts here, really, two firsts, right. And Teresa's on her second. Wow. Doesn't time go fast? And of course, Vicky's been and Mike been doing it for a while, but praise the Lord. So we already said the prayer, so we're going to go back from there. So, of course, we know that today we use the Gregorian calendar from who? Pope Gregory from the 1500s, and today in his calendar is April 3rd, 2010. And now, of course, we know God has his own calendar, and we're in the first month of God, which is Ha-Aviv, or Nisan, and we're in the 17th day, which is interesting because We know that Yeshua, in the year he was, that he died and rose, he rose on this day. But we're going according to Leviticus 23, where it says that, in fact, no matter what day the Passover was, the day of resurrection, which was the feast of the first fruits, was always on the first day of the week. To show that it would be in the future, would be on the first day of the week. And, you know, God's calendar is so shadowing. And if we know his calendar, we know what's to come. We're not in the blind. We're not in the dark, as some are. We're not going to be taken as a thief in the night in the end either. So that's really cool. Yep, yep. So now we explain the Sabbath each week. And this is how simple it is. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Remember last night we read in Exodus 16 that he talked about the Sabbath. He told them to get the bread every day. But on the sixth day, what did they have to do? Gather as much for 2 days, because they had to keep the Sabbath holy, right? So that was already back then. And of course, we knew it from Genesis, right? So remember, because it was already established. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. For 6 days shalt thou labor and do thy work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of Jehovah, thy God. He is our God. In it thou shalt do no work, right? Thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, excuse me, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle even, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. So nobody's supposed to work within your gates. For in 6 days Jehovah made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and he rested the seventh day. Wherefore, Jehovah, what did he do? He blessed the Sabbath day, and he hallowed it. It was a very special day. And of course, Leviticus 23:3 says, of course, 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest. It's a holy convocation. Of course, we all know it's when we all assemble together. Just as Yeshua did every Sabbath, what did he do? He went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, right? So you shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of Jehovah in all your dwellings. All right. And of course, this is really important for new people as far as, you know, what to do on the Sabbath. We know we're not supposed to work. And I think this is explaining how to keep it holy. You know, it's supposed to keep it holy. How do you do that? So Isaiah 58:13 says, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day. So in other words, you're supposed to turn your foot on the Sabbath from doing what? From doing your own pleasure on my holy day. And you're supposed to call it Sabbath a delight. Yes, it is. Holy of Jehovah, honorable, and shall honor him. So here's how you do it. So you don't do your own ways, right? The things that you want to do normally on those days, nor finding thine own pleasure. And that's pleasure like watching the ball game or whatever you do for your hobbies, if you will. You know, of course, our pleasure is kind of reading the Word of the Lord, isn't it? That is kind of our pleasure. So, you know, but that pleasure we can do, and not speaking your own words, you know, as far as you don't talk about things that aren't of the Lord in just normal everyday conversation, because today is his day and we honor him and nobody else, just him. So guess what's going to happen then? This is great. Then thou shalt delight thyself in Jehovah, and I will cause you, thee, to ride upon the high places of the earth and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father. And you know what? That's really important. How do you get fed with the heritage of Jacob thy father? By studying about your real family, right? Your real heritage, right? That, amen. For the mouth of Jehovah has spoken it. You did speak this. Right, right. So, of course, we all know that you don't buy and sell. And that only makes sense because to buy and sell, somebody would have to be working, wouldn't they? Or you'd have to be amongst the heathen if you're buying and selling. So we all know that. Nehemiah 16:16, and I just lost my mic. Stepped on it. And I bet this is going to be very noisy. Brother. Sorry about that. Nehemiah 13:16 says, there dwelt men of Tyre also therein, which brought fish, and all manner of ware. And what did they do? They sold on the Sabbath unto the children of Judah and in Jerusalem. Oh, man. Yeah, and then guess what they did? I contended. This is Nehemiah. I contended with the nobles of Judah and said unto them, what evil thing is this that ye do and profane? You're profaning the Sabbath day. And he also said, and that's the reason that God had punished them so much, is because they'd done that in the past. And look at all the evil it brought upon them. So anyway, we read from the Law and the Prophets every Sabbath, like they did in the book of Acts. 60 times in the Gospels and letters, it's used in the word Sabbath. Okay, what's happening? Oh, my mic's not on. I turned it on. What? No, my mic is on. Does anybody hear me? I'll take it off. Okay. Okay, can you hear me now? It could be my, can you hear me now? Okay, sorry about that. I guess just honk again if you have a problem. It does work, doesn't it? Okay, so it's 60 times in the Gospels and letters, you use the word Sabbath. We all know that too. We didn't know it before. Isn't it amazing? Now, let's see what Yeshua, Paul, and the apostles did. In Acts 13, it says, now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, and they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John departed from them, returned to Jerusalem. But when they departed into Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia. And guess what they did on the Sabbath? They went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down, because that's what they always did. And after the reading of the Law and the Prophets, the rulers of the synagogues said unto them, saying, ye men and brethren, just think, if you guys were in here, if we were in the synagogue way past, and you guys believed in Yeshua, and you were in the synagogue, and remember, there's a whole bunch of Jews that didn't. So they just thought of you as a regular Jew, right? I don't know if they knew what you believed, but here's what they said to me. Ye men and brethren, if ye have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. What would you say? What would you say? Probably tell them about how Yeshua fulfilled all the prophecies that you yourselves know, and explain them, right? Boy, that would be an opportunity, wouldn't it? And this is interesting, too, because in Acts 15:21, where it's talking about that we, you know, not trouble these Gentiles who believe in Messiah, because they told him some things to do, and then they explained it. For Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day. So the Gentiles would go, teach them the basics. Of course they know you had to teach them what sin was so that they could repent. But there's a lot in Torah they don't know, just like all of us when we start reading. So then you come to the synagogue every Sabbath and you learn. And as you learn, you do. And that's how it's done. So even this is explaining how the Gentiles did it. They had to learn in the synagogues on when? The Sabbath day. Amen. Amen. And Luke 4, and he, Yeshua, Jesus, came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And this is not something new that I didn't know. And as his custom was, I always thought the custom was that he was in the synagogue on the Sabbath day. But that word custom, Malachi looked that up, that word custom isn't custom like we think. You know, like customs? Customs is the laws of coming in. That's more like this. In this words, it's prescribed by God's law. I never knew that. This is kind of new to me. That word doesn't mean just a custom as far as your habits. That's not what that Greek word means. It means the commandment of God, the custom, that type of custom. He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book, the prophet Isaiah. So that's something new to see because, you know, a lot of people see the custom was to do the Sabbath. The Sabbath isn't a custom, it's a commandment. And he went to the synagogue, and actually it is, you're supposed to, it is a holy convocation, so he actually should have been in the synagogue, but that's a new way to use that word custom. It doesn't mean tradition, it doesn't mean habit. Right, exactly, and that's kind of new. Malachi looked that up this morning, I didn't know that. So that's very, very good. In Acts 13:27, for they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of prophets, which they read every Sabbath day. Just think, they read it all the stuff that we're doing, but they didn't see the Messiah. But they did fulfill them in condemning him, because that also was in the prophecies. Yep. Oh, yeah. Louise said it would be awful to fulfill that prophecy. Absolutely. To be the wrong people in the Bible that were prophesied like Judas, to be those people that were to come. having read that and that it would be you? Oh, how horrible, how horrible. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them on the next Sabbath. So guess what? The next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. They wanted to hear the word of God. The only time they would heard it was the Sabbath. Oh, yeah. Can you imagine the whole town of Nashville coming to hear the word of God? I guess they're not here. Although many of them said they were going to be here. I stepped on the mic again. I'm going to have to change this. I'll put it on this side. I'm sorry. Put it on the wrong side of me. So there we go. Can everybody still hear online? Give me a one. Okay. So the first day of unleavened bread. Now this is really important because a lot of people see Luke 23:56. Before you know about the feast, it says, and they returned and prepared spices and ointments and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. Now, if you didn't know about God's feast days, you'd think that is the Sabbath. Now, the Saturday Sabbath is a commandment. Don't get me wrong. But this is even more important because we all know Yeshua didn't die on a Friday. And the reason the Catholics have you believing he did is because then they'd have to tell you about the first day of unleavened bread that's a Sabbath. They don't want to do that. So they made him dying on Friday. It's an easy way to do it. This here, the commandment they're talking about, is really the first day of unleavened bread, which is a Sabbath, which is also a commandment. So this not only makes it even more important, the feast days, because it's a commandment that you keep the first day of unleavened bread. It's a Sabbath. They did a lot of tricks to kind of trick you out of stuff. So, and the Protestants followed them, so there you go. So in the future, Yeshua said in Matthew 24:20, but pray. Now remember, he's talking to his apostles, which means he's talking to us, right? He's not talking to them about the Jews. He's talking to them. Yeshua said in Matthew 24:20, but pray ye that your flight, that's our flight, be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. Yeah. And of course, Isaiah 66, it's a Sabbath even after the new heavens and the new earth are created. He says in Isaiah 66:22, for as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith Jehovah, so shall your seed and your name remain. And it shall come to pass, from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith Jehovah. It says, and ye shall go, and of course that you're going to, whatever our new bodies are going to be, and they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me, for their worm shall not die. We know the worm is their immortal soul shall not die. Neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring to all flesh. That's not good. That's a horrible thing to think about. Now, of course, now make sure you remember God's spring calendar for 2010. There's two extra Sabbaths left besides today. And we're going to talk about those. So in Yeshua's time, tomorrow, the resurrection of Yeshua, the Messiah, first fruits is April 4th, the first day of the week, Sunday. And it starts, little trouble again. Why are the words on the wall are backwards. I know why they are, because I mirrored it. Hold on, I will fix that. That's why they are, thank you. Okay, hold on, I got to fix this. Hold on. Okay, here we go. Okay, that should fix it. Sorry about that. Okay, so it's fixed now, right? It should be fixed. Okay. At Yeshua's time, tomorrow is the resurrection of Yeshua the Messiah, the first fruits, as we talked about. That's tomorrow. We'll talk a little bit more about that. We're going to talk about the actual, the whole time of Yeshua's death and rising and how it matches the Gospels and also the Old Testament prophecies. So the last day of unleavened bread is, does everybody remember? It's Wednesday, it's Tuesday night, right? So we'll be here Tuesday night at 7 o'clock, and also we'll be here Wednesday at noon. And we're also going to be here First Fruits, which is tomorrow at noon. So we'll be here tomorrow also. And because it is the first fruits, it actually is the day he resurrected. And now the second month of God in Ziv starts April 16th at sunset April 15th. And, of course, we'll be here then also. And then, of course, the third month of Sivan, very important. In the month of Sivan is where they gave Torah and also Pentecost, the Feast of Weeks. The third month of God in Sivan, and May 16th starts sunset May 15th. Is the third month. And of course, the Feast of Weeks, Pentecost, May 23rd, the first day of the week, Sunday, it always was, and it starts sunset May 22nd. It's the 8th of Sivan, and it's 50 days from the first fruits, right? 50 days. Actually, it's 50 days after Yeshua rose, absolutely. And it is a Sabbath, and of course, we're going to have two Sabbaths in a row. So we'll have the Saturday Sabbath and Sunday. So two whole Sabbaths, and of course, we'll be here also that day. So everybody knows. Oh, this is twice. Now, of course, we're told to prove all things. And that's why, you know, especially this season, the real holy days of God, it's really important to be able to prove to people on the outside world about Easter and about the death and rising of Messiah according to Scripture. And it's really important that everybody knows it, because you do have to prove all things and hold fast that which is good. And you're supposed to, of course, in Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In Colossians chapter 4, 6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. So in other words, instead of going up and saying, Easter's pagan, you know, yeah, Easter's pagan. What are you doing that for, you heathen? You don't say that, right? What you do is say, did you know that it's really in the Bible, it's called first fruits? And you can show them where it is and explain to them in a good way what it really is about and how some things are wrong that we've learned, you know? So it's really important to season it with salt and not throw them before you ever get started. You know, if you call somebody a pagan, they might not listen to you, you know? They may not. But that's what some people do. It's kind of like, you know, some of the religions say that Sunday's the mark of the beast. Well, Sunday's not the mark of the beast. Yeshua did raise the first day of the week. Of course, it wasn't called Sunday, you know, that it's the when they worship the sun, but it is a day. It's called the first day of the week. It's not an evil day, just what it is. So in chapter 2 of Peter, it says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Yeshua the Messiah. To him be glory both now and forever. Now, our grace doesn't grow, but we're growing in the grace, within the grace of God. We're in the grace of God when? When we're truly saved and keeping his commandments, right? And so while you're in the grace of God, and you learn more and learn more, and as you learn, you do. And of course, when you find that you've been doing something wrong, you have to repent and go on from there, you know? Absolutely, absolutely. And of course, it says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. This is Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And be not conformed to this world. Anybody, we're not conformists, are we?
No.
I think I'm a non-conformist. I'm not conformed to this world. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and the perfect will of God, Jehovah. Now, we're going to watch the video about the day he died and rose. And what we're going to do is we're going to stop when we need to. But first, we're going to go through, I think everybody already knows this stuff about Easter, and it's in the study. But, you know, we kind of expected some of the people that said they were going to be here to be here. Mm-hmm. They just didn't make it. Isn't it funny how people don't, a lot of people who are in churches, when they say something, they don't really worry whether they lie or not. Yeah, they mean it at the time, but then they just, if something comes up, they forget it and forsake it, you know. And that's just something we're, in our world, we're not used to. If we say we're going to do something, we usually do it unless we forget. But the outside world doesn't typically work that way, and that's really too bad. So, of course, a lot of people online. Do you want to go through the pagan Easter stuff? Okay, the English word Easter is derived from the names we know it. Astri, Astarte, Ashtaroth, Estrei. And Astarte was introduced into the British Isles by, of course, the Druids. You guys ever read about the Druids? They were some really, I don't even call them New Age. They were very, what would you call them? Almost devilish. I mean, they had some really pagan things that they did. And it's just another name for Beltis or Ishtar of the Chaldeans and the Babylonians. In fact, everyone had almost the same thing. It's just that their god and their goddesses were just named differently. But it was the same story every time. And the book of Judges records that the children of Israel did evil in the sight of Jehovah and served Balaam and who else? Ashtaroth, and forsook Jehovah and served him not. So Easter is just another name for Ashtaroth, the queen of heaven. Easter was not considered a Christian festival until the 4th century. And of course, who did that? Catholicism is the only one, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Early Christians celebrated Passover on the 14th day of the first month, and a study of the dates on which Easter is celebrated will reveal that the celebration of Easter is not observed in accordance with the prescribed time for the occurrence of Passover. And much debate, and after much debate, remember the Nicene Council of 325 AD? They decreed that Easter should be celebrated. Now, this is what they did. Before I read this, here's what they did. The Catholics, at that time, I don't know what they called themselves, but they had to figure out how to find the day that Yeshua rose without using God's calendar. Because if they used God's calendar, then they had to explain God's calendar to you. You know what I'm saying? And so here's what they did. It should be celebrated on the first Sunday, so after the full moon, on or after the vernal equinox. So on any calendar in any year that you go to, if you find the vernal equinox, which is what, March 21st? And then you find the full moon after that, the next Sunday is when Easter is. And it happens to work for first fruits every year except like the year 2005 and next year. And here's the problem. When there is a leap year in God's calendar, it doesn't work. That little trick doesn't work. Yeah, it doesn't work. And then what happens is Messiah rises a month before he dies. And also, I think any Christian, one way to always talk about it too, to bring up Easter is, have you ever wondered why Easter is on a different day in the Gregorian calendar? Why is it on a different day every year? It's never on the same day or even the same month. Sometimes it's in March, sometimes it's in April. Have you ever thought about that? Yeah, right. Well, the way you have to think about it is because the Passover goes entirely by God's calendar. They haven't found a way to find the Passover. You can't. There's no trick to find the Passover. So that's how you can say, well, yeah, because it goes by God's calendar, and you can tell them a little bit about God's calendar. So that's the trick. That's what they did. But it doesn't always work. And especially on those years, are those years you can use to show people. Now, isn't that strange? Don't you find that peculiar? And the answer is that it was not an apostolic institution, but an invention of man. They had to make up some rules, and they had to make up false stuff, counterfeits. You know what the devil does? He makes counterfeits of everything that's God's, including all of his feast days. And Easter is a good one you can really prove. And just calling it Easter is really, really, really terrible. History records that spring festivals in honor of the pagan fertility goddesses and the events associated with them were celebrated at the same time as Easter. In the year 399 AD, the Theodosian Code attempted to remove the pagan connotation from those events and banned their observance. Now, the pagan festival Easter originated as the worship of the sun goddesses, the Babylonian queen of heaven, who was later worshipped under many names. Of course, we talked about Ishtar. There's even more. It just depends what country you're from. I don't even know how to say that. Adea Mater, the great mother, or Astarte, for whom the celebration of Easter is named. Easter is not another name for the Feast of Passover. It is not. It is not celebrated at the biblical prescribed time as Passover. It's actually the same day as first fruits most of the time, but not always. And this pagan festival was supposedly Christianized several hundred years after Christ. The Catholic Church, what they really were doing, if you think about it, and what they still do today, as we've talked in the past, is they try to take a peoples who are doing pagan things and try to incorporate them into the Catholic Church. Just like Christmas. They were doing that that I don't know what you would call it. They were doing a festival or something that time of year because it was the time of the shortest day of the year and they wanted the sun to come back. And so they had all these pagan festivals. So in order for the Catholic Church to get more people, if you want, they took that day. They let the people do everything that they were doing because that made them happy and made them want to be a Catholic, but then tried to call it something of God. Oh, it's God. It's Jesus' birthday. We'll make it Jesus' birthday, right? And it's a lie. And even like Easter. You know what really throws me about Easter? And I did it too, and I think we probably all did it. Anybody who had kids, not everybody did, but, you know, when I was growing up, we told, the kids were told that there is an Easter bunny. They were told there was a Santa Claus, right? And I told my kids the same thing. You'd think you're being nice to your kids, giving them all those traditions, right? But then when you think about it, and especially Yeshua, you know, when he had the child sent on his lap and he said, suffer these to come upon me, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It says if you offend one of these little ones, that means sin against them. It's better you have a millstone hung around your neck and you're drowned in the ocean. You know? So what do? We take something that's supposed to be of God, supposed to be, and what do? We lie to our children on a supposedly, on a, you know, how many liars are going to heaven?
None.
And here we are as Christians, and we take a day that's supposed to be of God, and of course it's not, and we lie to our children about it and make it all pagan and do things on it that are totally not of God, you know, like Easter eggs. And just in our, you know, we live in Fieldstone Farms. Right away in the sign there, there's going to be an Easter hunt, Easter egg hunt, you know. Everybody's having an Easter egg hunt. Churches are, some of them, not all of them, are having Easter egg hunts, and they want to keep the kids happy instead of telling them the truth and telling them about Yeshua and what happened, and instead make it about fun and stuff. Anyway, reading from Compton's Pictured Encyclopedia in 1948, it's 1948, volume 4, page 140, we find that Easter is the greatest festival of the Christian church, which commemorates the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which festival was named after the ancient Anglo-Saxon goddess of spring. It's, you know, it's just the truth. Look at what they put. Easter, the greatest festival of the Christian church, commemorates the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is a movable feast. That is, it is not always held on the same date. They even knew that. The Church Council of Nicaea in 325 AD decided that Easter should be celebrated on the first Sunday after the first full moon, on or after the vernal equinox, which is March 21st. Easter can come as early as March 22nd or as late as April 25th. Yep, absolutely. And of course, we know where it comes from, the ancient Anglo-Saxon goddess of spring, of course. And we know what it really is. We all know what it really is. It's first fruits. And that's why if we can get people moved over to getting excited about learning about the appointed days and the feasts of Jehovah, then they would, if they learn that and understand that, they'll naturally go away from the pagan stuff because they'll see them for what they are. And that's all there is to it. Yep. I don't think there's anything else new in here. But anything else you guys want to talk about as far as this? We know why they did it. We know why it's there. It's a counterfeit. It's a counterfeit. It's there to hide the real plan of God in both the first and second coming of Messiah. And it's really, if you think about it, it's really evil. It's really evil. Because what it does is it keeps the people of God, of the people in the churches, I should say, not the people of God. It keeps the people in the churches blind, and they just keep on thinking they're doing okay. Because as we know, it's a commandment to keep the feast, the first day of unleavened bread. It's a Sabbath. It's a commandment to keep the Sabbath today. Keep it holy to God. It doesn't change. So anyway, we're going to close here today on video because what we're going to do now, and we want the people online, go to our website, and I think it's on the study, and watch the day Yeshua died and rose, because that's what we're going to be doing here. So praise the Lord. Malachi, would you like to come and say a prayer before we close? There we go. And I'll shut off the video here. Okay. Malachi, are you there? Maybe he isn't. Maybe he fell asleep. He doesn't feel so good. Anyway, Malachi. Oh, I guess my sound is off. Hold on. Again. Malachi, are you there? You want to give the give a prayer? Okay, go ahead. There it comes. Here he goes.
Shalom, everyone. Yes. There's so much to talk about on this day. We have some videos we're going to play. If you go to the banner above, you could actually view the two videos we're going to watch. Tomorrow we'll be at the congregation tomorrow at 12 o'clock. And we'll be doing this list. The first fruits tomorrow, which is the resurrection of the Messiah. 12 o'clock tomorrow at our congregation, Lord willing. And join us if you can. We try to make the video so you can see what's going on, and we try to make the audio so you can hear us. And photos on the website later on too. But anyway, any other questions, you can always come to the mic. I say, Heavenly Father, thank you for this reading today, making clear what Easter Astarte is, not of God. However, you have your own feast, God. You said, these are my feasts. Moedim, Yehovah. And we thank and praise the Lord today for the Sabbath day that we could study, just like they did in the book of Acts. We come to our synagogue, our house of study, and we learn and we grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord Yeshua, the Messiah. May God bless you, and may God keep you. I hope you can hear me. I say God bless everything today, and bless the food that you eat. May God heal everyone that's sick, and may God bring us back together again. Now, you can always call us. We're at 615-333-7373. 615-333-7373. Anyway, shalom, everyone. If you have any questions, come to the mic. Anything you want to say, come right up. Okay, God bless you.